I want to start out a little differently today, and I realize that I don't have a half an hour. I want you to think with me out loud. Many of you are parents. Some of you at this point are grandparents. And if you're not a parent, you probably can use your imagination. You certainly do it in other places in life. I want you to think for just a second about what kinds of things you rights that you give up when you become a parent. What are some things that you end up giving up in life as you become a parent? I think that's the number one answer. Sleep. What else?
Time.
Time. The right to time of your own, yes. What else?
Privacy.
That's a kind way to put it, isn't it? You give up privacy, yes. Anybody else? What's that?
Freedom.
Yeah, the freedom just to pick up and to go, to do. Yep. Anything else? What else do you have to give up?
Money.
Money? A lot of money. Yep.
Black hair.
Black hair? Nikki! I know it wasn't the other one. Couldn't have been Jamie. Okay? Yep. Anything else? Your favorite food, you got to cook for them sometimes. Yep. So you don't get to eat what you want. Yeah, and the thing about it is, you can make a pretty good list. When you become a parent, they don't hand you a list and say, by the way, you're going to be giving up all this stuff. It kind of comes in the territory, doesn't it? You just understand that it's going to happen. And what happens if you don't give up those things? It's hard to be a good parent, isn't it? If you just decide that you're not going to, you got to eat in the middle of the night. Too bad, I'm sleeping. You know, it's hard to be a good parent and not give up some stuff like this. That's part of the territory. We live in a nation, however, where we have documents that tell us that we have what's described as inalienable rights: life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I would argue that sometimes the babies interrupt the pursuit of happiness. Interestingly enough, however, there's no place in Scripture that says that we have those rights. Those are given to us by our nation. But the Bible doesn't say that God gives us the right to life, liberty, or the pursuit of happiness. In fact, it's kind of like having a baby or getting married. When you enter into a relationship with God, there are certain rights that you give up, or He asks you to give up. For example, when you get married, you're supposed to give up the right to date. Wouldn't you say that's true? Someone other than your spouse. Yes, thank you. You now have to consider the fact that you have somebody else living in the house, and you can't just put your laundry wherever you want, right? I mean, you begin to share. You can do that, right? You still have that right. But when you do, it can become a problem. It doesn't in my house. I was trained early on. I'm trying to share with you this dynamic, because within Scripture, there's this biblical image as well about this idea of rights and about what it means to be a Christian and a follower of God and this whole process. And I want to look today at a Scripture. I don't know how well known it is, but it's a powerful Scripture. It's in Numbers. If I could get it up there. Did I get it up there? It's in Numbers chapter 12. This is a story about Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. You may remember from Sunday school a long time ago that Miriam was Moses' older sister. She's the girl that when they put Moses in the basket, walked down the river with him. Her mother sent her to go. Discovered the princess, told her that, she could find a woman to care for this baby until it was weaned. All this kind of stuff. So Moses had an older sister named Miriam. He also had a brother named Aaron. We're not sure if that's an older brother or a younger brother. The three of them were obviously prominent people in the nation of Israel as they started out. Moses led the people out of Israel. In Numbers, they are out in the wilderness. And the scripture says this, Miriam, and we think that Miriam started the conversation because she's listed first. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he'd married a Cushite. Now, let me just shorten this a little bit. When Moses fled Egypt because he killed an Egyptian, he went out into the desert and married a woman from a different nationality who was a Cushite. Okay? They were having a conversation about this. You know, we shouldn't have been married to this woman. But that wasn't the real issue. The real issue was about Moses and how everybody treated Moses, how he got kind of preferential treatment. Because they said this, has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? In other words, what makes Moses so special? He had the same father we had. He had the same mom we had. Why does everybody think Moses, Moses, Moses? Why is he so special? Doesn't God also speak through us? Miriam, and I've intentionally put this sermon at the end of the series, because we've looked for three Sundays at powerful, courageous women who have taken spiritual leadership, who've taken the leadership of nations, who've done things that there were some men who were unwilling to do. In this instance, Miriam was courageous, but in a bad way. She had the courage to stand up and to put her foot in her mouth. Anybody done that before? And in this case, here's what she was trying to say. Why does Moses have the right to all the glory, being up in front of everybody, being treated like he does? Shouldn't we be treated the same way? Don't we have that same right? We're part of the same family. What makes him so special? And then the scripture says, and the Lord heard this. As a parenthetical statement, it says, now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. And it says, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting. This is the place where God would oftentimes meet the people. All three of you. So the scripture says, the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. So the three of them there, he calls these two forward, Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I revealed myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. He's laying out a cause for what he's about to say. And here's what he's going to say. He says, When I speak to a prophet, I usually use visions and dreams. This is how I usually speak to a prophet. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Let me just pause here for a second. The reason why God's saying this in this moment is because he's reminding Miriam and Aaron of their unfaithfulness. When Moses was on the mountain, he'd been gone a little while. The people of Israel got nervous, and what did Aaron do? He built a golden calf for the people to worship. And God's looking at them saying, you want to talk about faithfulness? Moses has been faithful from the beginning. You two, not so much. Hard word. When I speak with Moses, I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. He couldn't see God or he would die. He sees a form of me. Why were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Because when you speak against Moses, you're speaking against the relationship I've set up with Moses. And that's a problem. The anger of the Lord burned against them. And he left them. That's kind of metaphorical, isn't it? Because that cloud of pillar had always been there. He moved away from them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, there stood Miriam, leprous, like snow. Aaron turned toward her and saw that she had leprosy, and said to Moses, please, my Lord, do not hold against us the sin we have so foolishly committed. Now, by the way, if you're the brother and your sister's been ragging on you about stuff, this is the perfect moment to say, told you so. Or, going to open your mouth again? This is not how Moses responded. He was, after all, the most humble. Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother's womb, Aaron said, with its flesh half eaten, kind of gross. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. The Lord replied to Moses, if her father had spit in her face, would she not have been in disgrace for 7 days? What he's saying is, there was the thought in that day that when a child disgraced their parent, the parent would publicly reprimand them and send them outside of the camp for a period of time to be dealt with, and then they would come back. Just as she disgraced God, she is also to be sent outside the camp. Confine her outside the camp for 7 days. After that, she can be brought back. So Miriam was confined outside the camp for 7 days, and the people did not move on until she was brought back, which is a great lesson in community. They did not leave her behind. After that, the people left Hazeroth and encamped in the desert of Paran. Now, what this story is really about, what the story is really trying to tell us in this moment, is that Miriam had come to believe that she had the same rights as Moses did. And God was saying, I'm sorry, that's not true. You do not have the same rights as Moses do. And this thought about rights and about our rights permeates our country and who we are. Yesterday, we were at Dairy Queen. And we were there with some friends. And there was a dad and a couple of kids who walked in. And I didn't see any of this happening. I heard about it later. My wife was around the corner when this happened, and she told me. And then another woman walked in behind them. And then the mother and another child who came in later came in behind and walked past the lady up to her husband and other children. And the lady who was bypassed in line had a conniption in the middle of Dairy Queen. She starts yelling and screaming. And the lady who walked in late said, look, this is my family. I came in after them, but this is my family. I wanted to just stand with them in line. It's not like I'm cutting, I'm joining my family. And the lady got so upset that she screamed and stamped out of Dairy Queen. Now, we have become a nation where every single one of our rights has been demanded and closely guarded so that we think that we can say whatever we want, whenever we want, to whomever we want, in any way we want. And it's sad. But the Bible says things like this to us. Speak the truth in love. Which means, if you can't speak the truth in love, maybe you oughtn't to be speaking at all. Right? And there are moments when you and I are in the middle of something and we have the truth. And we want to speak the truth, but we have no desire to speak it in love. And God is coming to us saying, I'm asking you to give up your right to speak the truth when you can't speak it in love. The Bible says that God is trying to offer us freedom like we've never understood before. But so much of that is tied to us surrendering our rights. We have the right to be bitter, ugly people. But if you want to be free, you have to give up the right to hold on to bitterness and unforgiveness. That is the road to freedom. If you've got bitterness or unforgiveness in your life, God is asking you to give up the right to hold to that. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, love keeps no record of wrongs. Zero. None. The Bible says that if you want to act in love, you have to give up the right to be a record keeper of wrong. The Bible says that if you want to love, you have to be kind, which means that you give up the right to stop to say unkind things. The Bible says that love is patient, which means that you begin to give up the right to act impatient and impulsive. See, when you come into a marriage, there are things that you give up the right to do. When you become a parent, there are things that you give up the right to do. When you become a follower of Jesus, Jesus says this: if anyone wants to be my follower, they must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. And so Jesus tells us there are rights that we have that we must give up for God. The Bible says that our bodies are a temple, and He calls us to give up the right to do whatever we want sexually. That's not a message that we're going to hear from our culture. Especially if you're not married, our culture says, do whatever you want sexually. God says our sexuality is tied to our spirituality. And that if you just think sex is a physical act, you don't understand sexuality. That sexuality and spirituality are tied together in a way that deeply impact us. And to not be unwise sexually. The Bible says that we can give up guilt and shame. But we have to give up the right to holding others to blame as well. Because the Bible says that we will be forgiven with the same measure that we forgive other people. And so, as we think about our lives, we need to think about how God has asked us to receive this freedom. I believe that God's asked us to give up the right that we have to ignore the poor. We have the right to drive past. I think He's asked us to give up that right. I think He's asked us to give up the right of ignoring the orphans and the widows. James tells us, pure religion is ministering to orphans and widows. I don't think we have the right to simply ignore them or their needs. Even more importantly, and I think this goes through all the stories we've been looking at, frankly, all of Scripture, I think that God tells us that we need to give up the right to determine who we are, who we will become, what right and wrong is, and how we're going to spend our lives. You see, if we're still holding to deciding for ourselves what right and wrong is, then God is not God. And even more importantly, if we're still deciding how we're going to spend our lives, they haven't really been turned over to God. Most of you know Irene's story. She attends this service if she's able. She told me that some years ago, she was having a conversation with her son about her two grandsons. They were describing, her son and his wife were describing the challenges they were facing taking care of these two boys and trying to earn enough money for the family. And she said to me, in that moment, here's how she described it. She said, I heard myself saying to them, I'll take them. The day that Irene decided to take on those two boys was the day that she gave up a lot of rights in her life. One of them passed away, as you know, and the other one's very sick. She spent weeks at a time in a hospital room beside them. Nights helping them. And I believe that one day, God is going to call Zach and Logan before His throne. They will be walking and upright and healed and in their full understanding and measure as men. And then God's going to call Irene up and He's going to say, you were retired. You did not need to spend your life this way. but you let me spend your life this way instead. I needed someone to take care of these little boys. They could not take care of themselves. And because you gave up the right to so many things in life, because you love them the way that no one else would, thank you. So often the path to freedom is counterintuitive. You have to give up something. Not to receive it, not to be eligible, but because in the giving up you get exactly what you were looking for. And I believe that God will thank Irene for allowing him to spend her life that way. So I want to ask you today, is there a place or two or three in your life that God is asking you to surrender some right that we have? Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your parenting. Maybe it's a friendship. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's just your overall life. You still want to control where you're going and what you do. And God is asking you to give that up. I'd ask that you pray with me now and allow God to take what we think is so important to us and give us back something so much greater. Let's pray. Father, there are moments in life where we feel like we deserve something or we feel like it's our right. And if we're honest, we know that that's not true. But it feels that way. Jesus, who gave up heaven to come to earth, gave up so many of those rights as the Son of God. And in his example, calls us to do the same. Not because we'll be poorer, but because we'll be richer when we do. God, give us help us to have the strength to give up the right to hold on to grudges, to give up the right to be bitter or to hold on to unforgiveness, to give up the right to say what we feel and we feel it regardless of how we say it or what we say, to give up the right to decide what's right and wrong and allow you to make that decision, to give up the right to ignore the poor or the orphans, to give up the right to do whatever we want sexually, or to decide how we'll behave or what we'll do, how we'll spend our lives, but instead to call upon you to show us how they should be spent. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, if there are places in our lives where we need to surrender things to you. And in return, in that process, give us the very freedom that we were looking for all along. We thank you and praise you for being a God who loves us and cares about us more than we can imagine and who has a way and a will to give us the best that you can give to us. We're grateful for all of that, Father. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.